I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. Happy Friday, DGS. So as you know, Rach and I are the national spokespeople for Smart Mouth, which we mention everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Elizabeth Clary is the dentist who is the spokesperson who you see on national ads, which is kind of crap since I'm also a dentist. I thought they could have just saved their money.
We've
but
got the two TV people in here because I do a voiceover on one of the commercials.
Right, right.
And Dave's just...
I mean, I never went to dental school, but I did practice for a while.
Yeah.
So, still. Hello, Dr. Clary. How are you?
Hi. Nice to be here.
So, introduce yourself to everyone in the audience.
Well, my name's Elizabeth Clary. I live in Washington, Missouri. I've been practicing dentistry for 14 years. Mm-hmm. I have a private practice there that I've had since 2010. I am married and I have four children.
And you went to dental school in Alton?
Yes, at Southern Illinois University. I graduated in 2005.
Which is where you went, right, Rach? For dental school.
Yes.
Trying to do the whole dentist thing.
Sorry.
Okay.
having a hard time keeping up.
So let's start broad. Before Smart Mouth, correct me if I'm wrong, like with the Scopes and the Listerines of the world and dentine and double mint, we would put something in our mouth that tasted good and it would give us the illusion that, oh, we no longer have bad breath. But until Smart Mouth, we didn't really have anything with a chemical reaction that actually got the culprit, right?
You're correct. And that's the cool thing about Smart Mouth. It's completely based on science. And what science tells us is that the regular mouthwashes and mints and gums are helpful for a few minutes, but after a while they become ineffective. So what's neat about Smart Mouth is there is the chemical reaction that you're talking about. And when all of the two components come together, it releases billions of zinc ions, and that's what blocks the bad breath.
And so what percentage of your clientele or any dentist clientele actually suffer from gingivitis, whether they know it or not?
Well, I think a lot of people have it and they just don't know. But the thing about bad breath is everyone has that.
Right.
So everyone can benefit from using Smart Mouth to prevent their bad breath.
And then for the, I know that you're familiar with the study that was done at your alma mater and at SLU that found, tell me again, the terrible medicine that tastes so bad.
Well, it's called chlorhexidine, and It, for the past many, many years, has been the tried and true
Right. Mouthwash
that we use to treat gum disease, gingivitis, bleeding gums. And the new study that just came out found that chlorhexidine, while it's very effective, Smart Mouth is as effective. But the cool thing about it is Smart Mouth tastes better, it doesn't discolor and stain your teeth, and it has better patient compliance because of those things. So it can treat patients' gum disease and gingivitis, bleeding gums, easily, and they're more likely to use it long term.
Yeah, and rather than a two-week limit, you can use it every day if you want.
You're exactly right. And the best part is you don't need a prescription for it. You can go to any of your stores that you normally shop at and buy it off the shelf.
So would you expect a lot of your fellow dentists to start just skipping the bad one and giving people the DDS?
Yeah, I think once the word gets out that this is available, it's going to be so easy for the dentist to make the switch over to recommend it to their patients.
Gotcha. A little bit of a curveball, but can you talk a little bit about just how important oral health is to your overall health? Because I think we've always thought, well, you take care of your body and that's your health. And then you just brush your teeth so that you're not nasty. But what goes on in your mouth actually affects your whole body and can lead to many, like even life-threatening things.
That is totally correct. A lot of the research studies that have been coming out in the past few years have shown that the bacteria that's in our mouth is linked to systemic issues, such as heart disease. And even there's a new study recently about it's linked, it can be linked to Alzheimer's. So we're finding more and more things that are linked to systemically to our mouth. And if you think about it, it makes sense because this is where everything enters in. And so what we need to do is take care of our teeth every day and our mouth, not just for our
appearance, right,
and for looks and to prevent bad breath, but also to protect our whole body.
Very good. If people would like to find you individually, how do they do that?
Well, they can find me online, my website, appledentalcaremo.com, or they can call my office. I'm also on Facebook. They can just search Apple Dental Care.
Pretty good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
So Dr. Cleary walks out. Dr. Columbo walks in. It's a good thing you weren't here. You probably would have called her out on a lot of dental things.
Oh, yeah.
I know how
yeah.
you are. You're a contrarian.
I'm a know-it-all when it comes to that stuff.
You really are.
God, I love that smart mouth, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game changer.
We need to give you a bunch of travel packs for Disney.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll hook you up with that before you leave.
You can just walk around and hand them out.
Because I am in the home stretch right now. So
did Christine get the Rubik's Cube solved?
No.
No.
No. No. She hasn't solved the Rubik's Cube. She's watching instructional videos on YouTube, which is absolutely cheating. She says it's not cheating. It is cheating.
So if she can't solve it with the instructional video,
the video she's watching, it just gives you the strategy.
Oh, okay. It's not solving your individual Rubik's Cube.
It doesn't give you move by move.
Well, that's still
it's still cheating.
Yeah. It's up to you to figure out your strategy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Boy, I hate to crap on your wife, but if I did it, I could do almost anything with an instructional video.
Right.
I think I could probably do a pretty ham-fisted surgery.
Now when you do this, I'm not going to be impressed.
Right.
And she's like, well, it's still really hard.
Here's the thing, though. Here's why it's such a risk on her part. If she does it, if she does it, it's like, oh, that's cute, honey. Mm-hmm. If she can't with a step-by-step thing, then you're like, okay.
Yeah. Man, am I the only one who I will look at instructions, I'm not reading them correctly because I'm trying to half-ass them, and then I get so upset. But then you walk away for 30 seconds and give yourself a breather and come back with a fresh mind. It's just weird the way life works like that. I was like that with math when I was a little kid. I would get frustrated, take a small break, and then you're fine.
It's first world problems, but it's in my top five things I hate and am bad at.
Yes.
I just bought a table recently, little desk for Phoebe, and it made me nuts watching Nick put it together. Mm. Nick has been putting my stuff together since literally he was 8 years old. I can't do it. I go completely blind and stupid, and I cannot follow the directions, and I've literally never ever, even when Nick did it, I've never completed a project and not had leftover parts.
I'm direction illiterate.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I had to put together a exercise bike for my mom last weekend.
And There's no way.
It had seriously 31 steps. I can't read. I go blank.
Yeah.
I can't.
100%.
I can't do it. Now, Christine is really good at it. But we're a perfect team because she can read the directions and translate them to something I can understand. So she barks out the directions and I do the building.
Yeah.
And it works out. But I just can't do it. I open up, I used to have to build dollhouses and I literally there's a mental block with me and directions.
No, I've always said if I'm wrong and there's a hell and I go to it, it won't be a lake of fire. I'll take the lake of fire. I will just be looking at endless boxes of Target bookcases.
Right.
Man, so you guys are going to Florida. Mm-hmm. Whenever we would go on our family road trips, my dad would stop at the gas station and get a crisp new map. And I would just be like, how are you? This isn't real. You're just pretending to read that thing. How do you even look at those roads and blah, blah, blah? If turn by turn GPS did not exist, I would not go anywhere ever.
I love maps.
Can you read them? Can you follow them?
I'm not a savant or anything, but I can read a map. I can follow a map. I miss doing that.
Yeah.
There was just something kind of fun about that. If you gave me a map of any map right now, I could sit here for an hour and just look
but
at it.
But those are instructions.
I think it's the difference between visual and verbal.
Yeah. I don't know. This is so like typical girl, but I am so bad with directions. People will say, "Oh, it's west." I don't know where that is. I'm sorry. I don't know where north is. I get right and left mixed up all the time. I have to pretend that I'm sitting at a piano and that I know my right hand and my left hand, but
here's what's interesting about that. It's just your brain. Like you have
it's just my brain is dumb.
No, I mean, you have a different brain.
Yeah.
Like I have a really good sense of direction. At any time, like a gimbal or whatever it is, I can kind of tell where I am. And then other people, it's just, they're almost blind to it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm one of those people.
But it's just your brain. I mean, you can do stuff and other people can't.
That's why I can't play video games, because I get very I don't know where my character is at. And people are like, just look at the little map at the bottom and get your bearings. I cannot do it. There's a blind spot.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
That I haven't played a lot of video games, but when watching the kids play and there's that little circle at the bottom and here's all your enemies, that never translated.
Right.
They're like, Daddy got shot again. They're right there. And I'm like, what does that mean? Who am I? Where are they? It's one of my coziest things, though. Even to this day, like, there's the Red Dead Redemption thing where Nick just rides around on a horse through the snow and then shoots guy in the face, you know, a couple times an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I could just sit there and watch that and do.
Yeah.
Like rather than television, just watch him play a game.
Well, it basically is a movie now. Those first person.
Yeah, we actually looked it up. I'm like, how much must it cost to make this? And it is like a movie. I think that one cost $150 million to make.
I mean, they made $300 million. The voice acting. It is a movie production.
Yeah.
The commercials are trailers, essentially. I mean, it really is.
Crazy. What else you got?
Add another one to the list. Ben Shapiro wrote an article yesterday that said, now is the time for Hillary Clinton to step in the race and steal the nomination.
Is he trolling?
No.
He's serious?
He's being dead serious. He said, now is the time for Hillary Clinton to step in and steal the nomination. He's not saying, I don't think he's saying she would beat the president, but he's saying that, he said that cracks are starting to show in the Democratic frontrunners. The nation majority is not buying their policy proposals, and that especially he wrote this article just, you know, a day or so after the last Democratic debate, and he said this is the perfect time for her to swoop in and steal the nomination. And I thought, Kennedy, Glover, Shapiro,
the big three.
There's a movement.
All the smart people. You guys see? Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say they're add another one to the list. It says it's time for Hillary to move in and take her place at the top.
I was just gonna make fun of Wiggins.
Please do.
You guys see him through the window at the other studio?
Yeah.
Look at his jacket. Look at the way it's tied around his waist. He's wearing it like a belt. Like, a lot of times people tie their jacket around their waist and it's, like, hanging. It's all, like, 90s and cute. He just has it, like, wadded up in a belt, essentially, tied around his waist. It's stressing me out. Oh, he's taking it off. I think he can sense me making fun of him.
Think about taking your jacket and holding both arms out.
And then, like, twisting it?
Yeah, and then twisting it up like you twist up a towel.
Yeah.
And then it's like a rope now, and tie it around your head. That's what it looked like.
He just looked like he got roughed up by some kids after detention in fourth grade.
And had to get out of there as fast as he could with his jacket.
Yeah, he's running home on a Friday night to tell his mom.
Yes.
And then he saw me literally pointing and laughing at him through the window.
And put it back on.
And knew. He knew.
He
though,
knew.
It was the jacket.
Yeah, he knew.
100%. He knew it was the jacket. He was like, well, if they're making fun of something, it's this.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Happy Friday. So last night I was at Cyborg's and met, I don't know, a couple hundred listeners. Very, very nice people. And probably a third of them were just raving about the best of clips and congratulating me on 19 years. And so I thought that we would finish out the week by playing a few more of the little bits off of the best of CD. So have a great weekend. Happy Friday and enjoy the next few minutes. Let me set the stage for you for the limp goof. It's 2-3 in the morning, the first couple of years that we did the Limp Mansion show. Tom and I are back here at the studio. We're absolutely slumber party, slap happy, goofy. And we have to call this contestant and try to scare her for your entertainment. And we just can't bring ourselves to call her. We can't stop laughing. And as far as the Lou Brock reference, you need to know this to find the humor in it. Tom's a huge Cardinal fan. And the psychic that night brought her assistant, Lou Brock, along. And Tom, being Tom, really thinks Lou Brock, number 20, all time's steals leader, is going to be there holding the flux capacitor. Well, we walk in, and here is the whitest man ever to draw breath, named Lou Brock. And there you go. Thus the hilarity.
All right, we're going to call again, folks. Here we go. The time is about 3:18 a.m. All right, here we go. Here we go.
No, I'm not close yet.
We're not Ooh. Even close.
Booga, 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 booga. We've been down there laughing.
Oh my God,
Lou Brock,
the Lou Brock. I'm looking. I didn't know he got.
I didn't know
all this supernatural.
Was psychic.
Yeah. Oh no. This is Lou here. Oh, okay. Not really. You're not Lou Brock. Laura, we're hurt. Okay.
This is Hugh Downs.
I'll take
him. Some color treatment.
That's Hugh Downs?
Yeah. I know somebody like that.
Lou Dobbs. That's it. Lou freaking Dobbs. On the money. Or it's, I don't know what it's called. Look at this dude.
Lou Brock.
Kenneth Pollack. I don't know if we can do this anymore. We got too late.
They just have to wait a few minutes.
She's on her own. No, we got to do it.
Now?
If we forget, yeah.
Where is she, the pink room? Pink
She's
palace?
In the lavender room.
We can go to the bathroom. Flush the door.
Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. It's late. We've been up like 18 plus hours. Okay. What you doing, dear? I'm in the shower. Rub-a-dub-dub. All right, here we go.
You have my voice giving out.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Easiest money she'll ever make. You win. Just stay right where you're at.
The Satan outtake took place within the first few weeks of the show, and I didn't really realize just how eaten up Tom Turbrock was until this day. Picture this. I'm in a completely different studio than Tom, and I'm talking into this voice changer, so I sound like Satan. Key word there, sound like. Turbrock evidently thinks that I somehow metamorphosized into Lucifer, and he is treating me as if I am the Dark Lord. One of my favorites.
All right, folks, this is the Dave Glover Show, and this is producer Tom, and it's time now for the interview segment of this week, and we are speaking to Satan, or should I call you Bub, as in Beelzebub.
Hey, that's funny stuff, man. I can't believe you don't have your own show yet. Call me whenever you want, Moon Pie.
Oh, Moon Pie, huh? Why don't you just stay down there, you Uday Kusei? Why don't you three have a menage a trois or something, you punk?
You know, the closest I've seen you come to a menage a trois was you and a Susie Q back in college. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Bean?
I remember that, but you don't scare me, man.
I don't?
You do not.
How about this?
What?
Ready? Ah!
Okay, maybe just a bit. But hey,
do you have some questions for
me?
Is there really like a purpose to this? Because I'm a fairly busy guy these days. By the way, Turbrock, you've been a pretty tough nut to crack.
Dang
women,
right.
Booze, gambling, hell, just cheeseburgers. I thought I had you on that one, but your time is coming, my friend.
No, it's not, brother. You're never going to touch me. Never, ever. But I do have a question for you, you punk.
Smoking a pancake?
No.
Bong to blend?
No, it's
well,
not.
There's no pleasing you then, is there?
You're absolutely correct.
Hey, by the way, is that Pigpen guy down the hall?
No, he's not.
Good, because he could give me the creeps.
He creeps you out?
Oh, he scares me, yeah.
He's a good guy, man.
Whatever. Goofy, scary guy.
All right. Well, hey, I have a question.
Shoot!
What have you been up to, man? What have you been doing?
Like my latest project?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, let me see. Well, have you been to a TGI Fridays lately or like a Ponderosa or something?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
yes.
Well, figured that there, sizzler ass. But anyway, if you notice that the waiters and waitresses, they don't write anything down at all. They take your order and they just stand there staring at you like, look at me, I'm freaking Einstein. I'm not going to forget what you ordered. Have you experienced that?
That's you?
That's me. I've been working on that for about 6 months now. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
I believe it.
Snotty Mensa wannabe. Right. I study theater at Webster University. I refuse to write down that you want ranch on the side. Hey, we're not splitting the freaking atom here. Bring me my potato skins, Hawking.
Hawking, speaking of him, not only did he discover the black holes, but he has been frequenting strip clubs. Now, do you have anything to do with that? Are your claws in him, too?
You know, speaking of black holes, you know who discovered a lot of them back in the 70s? Billy D. Williams. Now, there's a player from the Himalaya. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was actually a bet I had with Beelzebub. We were in Cleveland having some ribs, and I said, you know what? I'll bet you the soul of Kobe Bryant that I can get Stephen Hawking. Well, next thing you know, the little cripple's begging some chick named Cinnamon to grease his wheelchair for $20.
I know, man, but that just isn't right. That is not right.
What?
You heard me. That isn't right, man.
Hey, speaking of not right Mr. Black Hole, I heard they had a little trouble with some pot roast the other night and painted the bathroom wall without a brush, if you know what I mean.
That was you, too?
Hey, how'd you like me to take you to Boston Market?
No, you can paint my car there.
No. Oh.
You know what? You can just stay down there in hell and burn for the rest of eternity. Eternity, as you should, you punk.
You know, I bet you took that short bus to school, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Remember that chocolate smear all over your face? Working at your own little personal computer? I see the bunny. Now the bunny's gone. I see the bunny. Now the bunny's gone. Remember that?
Ha, ha, ha. No, I did not take the short bus to school, you punk.
Hey, good comeback there, Clarence Darrow. I see why you're a sidekick.
I can see why you deserve to be in hell, and I hope you stay there. I'm done with you.
Bravo! Another good one, Shakespeare.
Thank you.
I gotta go renegotiate a contract for some AM talk show host, so I'll be seeing you in your dreams here, Tom.
I hate you. He's a punk. I like to stomp a mud hole in him.
Dave Glover Show, outtakes, Satan interview.
Some snotty Mensa wannabe studying theater at Webster College, refusing to write down ranch on the side.
And
hey,
they always
we're
screw
not
it
splitting
up.
The atom here. Bring me my potato skins, Hawking.
So it's you, huh? Because they always screw it up.
Now, why don't you say, speaking of Stephen Hawking,
yes.
One of the greatest minds, discovered black holes, strip clubs. You got your claws in him, too?
No.
Don't say that.
No. Say I should, huh?
No, we're not in the bit right now.
Okay,
I want you to actually say that to set me up.
This is so. I'm supposed to say.
Speaking of Hawking, one of the greatest minds discovered black holes. Now he's going to strip clubs. Do you have your claws in him too?
Okay.
That'd be good.
Satan. Speaking of Stephen Hawking's. What is up with him? Do you have your claws into him, too? He's going to strip clubs, man.
How about the greatest mind in black holes deal? Can you put that in there, too, Chief?
All right, hold on, you punk. And I'm getting calls here, too, for your
Meat and teeth. So, Katie here is finding, is it an eyelash?
It's something I got.
Oh,
it,
that
thank
sucks.
God. Ooh, it was like I have hair or something in there.
Isn't that weird how it feels like it's like a finger, you know?
Oh,
it's like you get
it
something.
Does.
And when you're a kid, well, I don't know. Even now, I tend to panic. But as a kid, you just freak out.
Yeah, it's like a finger covered in sandpaper. Oh, is what it feels like. I hate that.
What's worse, the thing in your eye or the popcorn husk?
Oh,
it's stuck in the throat.
Oh man, that's a toss.
I think
to
it's
me.
The husk. And then there's this stuff caught in your teeth. if you have nothing to get it out. You're fashioning a tool with anything.
And you're Jones for a business card. Anything.
You would pay $10,000 for a toothpick. Dental floss. It's just like, especially if it's like a piece of meat between your eye teeth right here.
It's got that pressure going in there. You go,
And then once you get it out, do you chew it real fast with your... Seriously.
Why
yes.
You do that?
Because you're exacting your revenge on that tiny piece of meat.
Exactly. I got you.
You're trying to teach it something.
You got you.
I know everyone does. It's one of those things that people are like, I don't do that. Yes,
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, you do.
Yes,
don't
you
lie.
Do.
Don't lie. Digest. Got that piece
and you can tell like if it's your spouse that has it, you just feel for him. You know,
there's like, try this.
But seriously, suddenly you're MacGyver. I mean, you're like,
come up with anything.
I'm gonna kill a squirrel. I'm gonna skin him. I'm gonna get a toe bone and I'm gonna whittle it down and then out
a TV.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.